This is 88.5 NEPM. The surtax debate intensifies as Massachusetts lawmakers confront geographic equity issues in transportation and education funding. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We've got Chris Lisinski from the Statehouse News Service on the line. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Carrie.
It's budget season at the Statehouse, and one major expense is transportation. Chris, I think it might be useful to have a wider view of the governor's proposed state transportation funding strategy. What are the various funding streams that make up that total transportation picture?
Yeah, the way that the governor likes to pitch it is an $8 billion plan over a 10-year period. So more than is included in just one bill. Stretches across a few different legislative vehicles, including that one-time surtax spending plan that got a hearing last week, but also this annual budget, subsequent annual budgets, and we call it the Chapter 90 bill, the annual measure authorizing the state to reimburse cities and towns for local road and bridge maintenance. So there's surtax money involved, there's other general state appropriations involved, and there's quite a bit of borrowing involved in the big picture.
So last week, some lawmakers asserted the transportation surtax funding scenario for transportation didn't seem fair to Western Mass residents. What were lawmakers saying?
We heard from Republican Todd Smola and from Democrat Joe Comerford, so bipartisan frustrations on behalf of Western Massachusetts. They both looked at the surtax bill that Healy put forward, which has something like $780 million for the MBTA, more than half of the entire bill's balance and the vast majority of its transportation dollars, and said, hey, what gives? We can't go back to Western Mass and say, yeah, we're advancing a bill that has an overwhelming amount of money for the T and very, very little for RTAs, roads and bridges, and microtransit.
You know, one detail that Comerford did not overlook is that penny of our sales tax on purchases made here in Western Mass that fund the T. She says, most of my people will never ride it.
That's right.
So since the millionaire's tax revenue can only be used for transportation and education, I'm curious what lawmakers are hearing from those on the education side who are looking to get their piece from that $1.3 billion pot.
I think some of the biggest priorities we've heard for folks, some of the areas they really want to see the surtax money go toward, include bumping up transportation reimbursement for school districts. That's another issue that is especially significant out in your neck of the woods. More rural areas, longer distances to travel is a heavy lift, and it's an area where, as I understand it, the state has really struggled to meet the reimbursement targets it actually set for itself over the years.
Yeah.
Another big area of focus is in career technical education, vocational education. The governor is proposing to use a good chunk of surtax money to bulk that up. And that's just an area that's been in the headlines for months now amid a broader debate over admissions policies to those schools.
Looking forward this week, a joint committee of the judiciary will hear a slew of proposed constitutional amendments. Now, I talked with Senator Paul Mark of Beckett about his bill that creates a provision for filling lieutenant governor vacancies. He recounted several times that this issue of a resignation or a step up to governor then leaves the LG position empty. And he says he's filed this measure for about a decade. Chris, why is it so important that the constitutional amendments, like Paul Mark's, are being heard early this session?
It's very simple. There is a ticking clock that's different for constitutional amendments than it is for more standard bills. Committees only have until April 30th to report on bills seeking to propose the state constitution. There's a extensive and very deliberate process for constitutional amendments. It needs to get approved in a joint session of the House and Senate meeting together, I believe in two consecutive lawmaking terms before final ratification by the voters. So you see this every time there's a new two-year session underway. Those constitutional amendments always get considered at the committee level first because they need to by the end of April.
You know, what's a sort of cool fact is that it's pretty special. The 1780 Massachusetts Constitution is the oldest still in effect in the world.
Yeah,
Chris Lozinski is a reporter at the State House News Service in Boston. Chris, thank you.
My pleasure.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from NEPM at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast. This is 88.5 NEPM.